Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP 2 presented by 50 West Brewery. Time for the Deuces. The Bengals get ready to take on the Cleveland Browns. The Battle of Ohio. It's going to be a tremendous rivalry, according to Hugh Jackson.
It'll be a game.
A game will be played between two teams.
Yeah.
For bragging rights in the state and for a first win for somebody.
Yeah.
It's not, not
it's kind of like, I'm trying to remember when one of these games were last year. Weren't the Bengals like the team the winless Browns were circling as, we could get this one.
Yeah.
I forget when it was. I think it was the one here at Paul Brown. Or was it the one up there?
I would assume the one in December.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, at that point.
But then they trotted Robert Griffin III out. But because they needed the win. They were 0 and whatever they were at that point a lot.
So, I mean, it's kind of deja vu in a bad way for the Bengals that the Browns are kind of like.
Hey, we could beat those guys.
Right.
I mean, So here we go. And. We're going to get into some of the kicker stuff because you guys can't stop talking about Jake Elliott and Randy Bullock. And
you mean we're not going to talk about?
I had to ask Marv about it. I just couldn't.
Yeah, look what you did.
Look what I did. I caused. Anytime he steps in front of a microphone, 5% chance of gaffe, and that wasn't even a gaffe.
It wasn't even a gaffe. No, he was stating a fact.
He was
a statistical fact.
He stated a statistical fact immediately.
What'd you do right away?
We'll get to that. We'll get into the story that you're writing for the game day section on Sunday, revolving around this defense a little bit, and then we'll obviously give you our predictions. Optimistic Bobby is back. He has his new hashtag optimistic takes about what's going on, and a question for us. And then later on, we are really good. Better hot seat, Gio or John Ross?
Gio. Strictly because he thought he was going to get a drug test because of it.
Yeah, he really did it.
That's a great teaser.
It really is. So with the Doc's hot seat with Gio from Beyond the Stripes. And a reminder, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks, William Jackson III of Aaron Rodgers' pick six fame will be joining us, 2016 first-round pick. So come on down if you haven't met him, hear us talk football, and you really hope talk about the first Bengals win of the season. Because if not, someone asked me, I don't remember what the question was anymore, but all I remember saying was, I'm pretty sure the Bengals will have to forfeit all home games the rest of the year if they lose at Cleveland because the stadium will be burnt down to the ground by fans. They will burn it down.
Yeah.
They will all the game will end. Everyone will descend upon PBS with their torches and like it will be up in flames. Arson on the whole city of Cincinnati, and every home game from this point forward has to be played on the road.
Yeah, I think the anger so maybe the anger would turn from directed at us after week one to the team.
Maybe it wouldn't be our fault.
Yeah. But seriously, though, you're right. I think Paul, maybe you can speak to this. To me, when I look through the Marvin Lewis era, the Browns loss in week 4 in 2010 that started the 10-game losing streak was the nadir of the Marvin Jones era. It was the worst. Like, in context, you can look back at it and be like, that started it. Maybe it wasn't the quote-unquote worst regular season loss. I mean, maybe there's more important ones somewhere in there. But if you start a 10-game losing streak to the Browns, then the quarterback wants to retire, then the receivers lose their minds, yes. And then at the end you have the press conference to end all press conferences. Like to me, that was the worst loss to the Browns you could have. And, oh, by the way, week 4, where they started 0-4.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you were to repeat that, then you're starting to ask the same questions. Is there another reboot needed? Are we on the way to 4-12 and needing to reevaluate the QB and the coach again and all that we're doing? So, it's a legitimate question to wonder about if they take a bad L.
You're exactly right about that. There's a lot to wonder about if they take an L up there. Because we've kind of joked around. It's like, yeah, it's pretty bleak when you're 0-3.
Right.
And things don't look good. You lose this one, coffin, nail, yeah. All of it. Forget it.
Yeah.
Like, these are the games that you just absolutely cannot afford to lose
no.
from this point forward. And you have to win some that you probably weren't supposed to.
Right.
Going forward. If you're going to turn things around, it has to start immediately. It has to start in division.
Right.
Which is where this team is really going to have to make their run, because when you're 0-3, the chances of winning wild card are not good.
No.
Your only chances of really making the playoffs become winning a bad division.
Right.
Even trying to get to 500 is against
it's a long way. Time. Yeah, so we're talking end of November to get to 500.
Yeah, but it has to start. It has to start Sunday, and it really, honestly, has to start next 2 weeks. I mean, I think Buffalo is bad, so you have to beat the Browns. You have to beat the Bills, and if you're sitting at 2-3 at the bye, you're recalibrating. You say, we damn near should have beaten Green Bay.
Yeah.
We beat the Browns and the Bills. Really, how far were we from the 3-2 that we wanted to be at the bye? One Aaron Rodgers magical throw. Well, three, really a lot of magical throws by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But that was the difference. You feel good. But if you're anything but that, it's really hard to see pulling out of it right now, because the hole's so deep, you have to start making some headway. And that was sort of the message from players and coaches throughout the weekend after the game.
Yeah, and look, quite seriously, the Browns suck.
They suck.
I love Hugh, but here's the thing. Hugh and Greg Williams, let's not forget the change in defensive coordinator up there, makes them dangerous, because you factor in they're desperate and very creative play callers. While those guys are young, that also makes them somewhat scary, because you know, I don't know if I've seen enough Paul to say that all of those draft picks over the last 2 years are still any good together. They've got a lot of injuries. I mean, as we're recording this, it's possible they roll out there with their 5 and 6 receivers, with a QB who's completing 50% of his passes, been sacked 10 times, and has 10 picks or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of picks.
So, you know, they have a lot. But we saw this last year here at Paul Brown. Kevin Hogan rolls out. Could they knock out Cody Kessler? And you're thinking, oh, that's going to be a cakewalk. All of a sudden, Hugh goes to the option, and they can't stop the guy.
Right.
So, and Greg Williams brings the heat. Look, there's no better way to me, Paul, than to get a young defense playing well than to just say, go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them.
Especially against a bad line.
Right. So, look, yes, the Browns are bad. The Bengals should win this game. Later we'll get into our predictions. But there's enough there to be concerning, because this Bengals team, you know, you're right. Aaron Rodgers played really well, made some throws. I think only him and I don't even know if Tom Brady can make some of these throws, but that's a whole other thing. You can't let DeShone Kizer do any of that stuff.
No.
And this, you know, so you got to, you're right, Paul, you got to win, and you got to be 2-3, because, you know, they do play Pittsburgh pretty well at home. say what you want about it. They do play the Steelers okay here.
They got to go to Pittsburgh after the bye,
yeah.
though. So
that's right. Yeah,
the first one after the bye is at Pittsburgh. They got to split Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, and that means you're probably going to have to win the one at home. But that's
yeah,
that's all down the road. I don't think any of it matters if they don't find a way. They certainly not if they don't find a way to
no,
win.
No, yeah, they need to beat. They need to beat a team that's won one game.
Yeah,
in two and eight. Like I mean, look, they're scary. You got to respect them. I haven't given us all that other stuff. You got to beat that team.
Yeah, must win games don't often come in week four unless you're 0-3 playing the worst team in the league.
Yes.
Period.
Yep.
So that's it. Now, if they don't,
Marvin's not getting fired.
Marvin's not getting fired.
Let's just do that right now.
Yeah,
Marvin's not
there.
Getting fired. You're not firing any more coaches because there aren't any more coaches to fire and refill who they are.
Yeah. and a quarterback change is not happening.
No, that's not happening either. What happens is you start what you said at the very start of the year. You build towards a blazing finish.
Yes.
You know, where they finish 8-8, and it's like, oh, my God, they went 8-4 down the stretch.
All the kids started playing great.
Right.
And 8-8, and now you're like, feel like you're rolling into 2018, which is what we've been saying all year, is that this year is about, will it just be a stepping stone, or will they make enough progress that they are actually in it this year? So far, they've looked like it's a stepping stone year.
Right.
If that.
So, yeah.
If not one of those, like, lily pads you think is a stone, but it's not, and you just sink.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyway, we will see how that plays out. Let's talk. I want to talk real quickly about Jake Elliott hits 61-yarder against Philadelphia on Sunday. And we talked about it earlier, but and Randy Bullock, of course, misses a 48-yarder, and the Bengals lose in overtime, and that sure sounds a whole lot like a lot of games last year that got Mike Nugent gone. Randy Bullock's 4-5, and he's made his extra points, of which there haven't been many, but he's made both of them. And Jake Elliott is 3-5 in his two games with the Eagles on field goals, but, of course, the 61-yarder to win, and he's taken off on his teammates' shoulders, and he just got Carson Wentz's paycheck, apparently.
Yeah.
Side note, have you seen the emotional video of Jake Elliott's supposedly parents.
Yeah. One of them.
That's his mom and his stepdad. So everyone going out there saying that that's his dad getting all emotional. It's not. But, hey, modern journalism on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
That's not his dad.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, that's a whole other thing, trying to blast Carson Wentz for saying a thing on a sideline and, like, forcing the kid into a weird situation, too.
No dude will ever be mic'd up again.
That's crap.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
So now they got it. Now they
wait,
got
is check
was
that
going
the same
charity,
place
right?
that thought Aaron Rodgers was going to kneel Sunday? Oh, sorry. Was that the same place? Oh, sorry. That's right. They thought a guy who also took a knee was going to play here where they wanted. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I did.
Yeah, you did. PFT. All right, let's go. So here we go. Jay, so I'm just a curious sort.
You are?
I'm just a curious sort, and I just kind of wanted to see, honestly, if Marvin had seen it and what his reaction was to that, thinking the most likely thing and what I was going to write as a note because I'd heard it from talking to Darren Simmons earlier was how happy they were for the guy. Like, yeah, we cut him, but we're happy to see him succeed, you know?
Yeah.
That is kind of what was said.
Right.
But not until initial reaction came out. So here is myself asking Marvin Lewis about Jake Elliott.
Did you get a chance? Did you happen to see Jake Elliott's 61-yard field goal?
No. Mm-mm. He's what, 3-5 or something like that?
I was just curious if you saw him.
I heard about it. Darren told me about it after the game.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're rooting for Jake. We drafted him. We thought he was a good player. You know.
Notice the gut reaction of validating their decision. Maybe he thought I was coming after him about the decision, which I wasn't. I was literally.
You clearly were doing that. Your fault. You held him accountable. You attacked him for his constant failure, and he slapped you for it.
He slapped. Like his constant failures. It was like his gut reaction was validating himself. Whoa, 3-5. Yeah, 3-5.
Yeah,
you know, and then being like, of course, you know, then saying, well, of course, we, you know, wish Jake well. We drafted him. We think he's going to be a good player. And next thing you know, I mean, we weren't back in the media room before NJ.com
right.
had a story up saying Marvin Lewis throws shade at Jake Elliott.
Right.
And I was just like, well, that's not really, I mean, I guess kind of what happened, but not really what happened. Like, it wasn't, right. because the only thing that they had was a tweet that was sent out was just the 3 for 5.
Yeah.
Without continuing with the rest of his statement saying, of course, we wish Jake well. We think he's going to be a good player.
Right.
It's
yeah.
It's like, man, it's just how this works.
Yeah, it does.
It happens so fast.
It does.
I mean, and so everyone reacts in different ways, but it's like, come on, everybody.
Right.
It's
kind of funny.
It was funny. It was right. very, it was.
It's our guy Jeremy over at Fox.
We love you, Jeremy. We love you, Jeremy, but he's always trying to fire out that tweet to get things shaken. He's always trying to get things shaken. So if you want to get shook, you can follow Jeremy.
Yeah.
Like we do. All right. Let's, I want to bring in one more thing, talking to Darren Simmons about Randy Bullock. I just thought this was sort of telling, discussing the fact that he missed, and it was very similar to games like last year. If you listen to Darren Simmons, he's sort of like, when you suck, you can't miss ever, no matter what, which is really impossible to ask. But when we're playing bad, this is not the type of thing you can't do. So anyway, here was Darren Simmons on Randy Bullock and the day that he had.
Randy misses the one kick. You know, was that just like a kind of a deja vu to last year where it's like a game that you end, you end up losing in overtime, you got to regret a missed kick? Is there a frustration in that? It's sort of a kind of a similar story to some that we talked about last year?
Well, I don't know if it's the outcome ended up being similar, so that part was the frustrating part. I was pleased for him that he was able to come back and hit another one. We hit one after that was a good hit that put us back up 7, I believe, or put us up
7,
whatever it was. So I was glad that he rebounded, you know. But we're just in a position right now. We have to make everything.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be perfect. And that's a difficult thing to ask anybody to do. They're going to miss. You know, it's just we're just in a position right now where we can't miss. None of us can miss on anything. And just our margin for error is smaller. And, you know, until we get some momentum going here, that's what it's going to be. So, you know, any time you miss, it's frustrating. And, you know, but it's not something obviously.
Yeah.
The ends or means to do, but you know, I'm glad the positive side of it was, I'm glad he rebounded and was able to come back and hit the next one, which is again equally as big. Otherwise, that touchdown beats us at the end.
Right, exactly.
So.
Until this team gets something going, they can't ever leave points on the board offensively.
No.
Considering what the issues have been, you can't leave points out there. If that means you're not allowed to miss 48 yarders, which kickers in this league, you know, are gonna miss.
Right.
Even the best in the world are going to miss them. That's just right now. It can't really happen. And
if it's a narrative through three weeks, Paul, it at the end of the year, maybe the guy misses 3 kicks.
Yeah,
and you're like, wow, that's great. But it's like, when did you miss it? It's just like this
in
defense,
close games,
right?
Although he hit for guy who yelled in all caps, clutch gene doesn't have clutch gene.
Yeah.
I mean, he hit the one that was actually later and probably more important
right.
in the game if we're talking about clutch gene. And I know the history, and I'm not doubting that, but let's not say that kick, any kick he misses isn't clutch gene just because you want it to be.
Right.
We're moving on. So you're writing about Paul Gunther this week for the game day section. What have you gathered, and what – you take behind the scenes of why you wanted to write this.
Yeah, well, it's because look, Paul, like if let's flip it around. Let's say this team's 3-0, despite all the issues. What are we talking about? Dominant defense, number 7 in the league, number 9 in scoring, 11 sacks. I forget how many picks. You know, we're like, wow. You know, Paulie without Vontez Perfect. And at the start of the year, Paul said this defense, it's time for them to be dominant. Now, you lose 3 weeks in a row. It's all the things we've talked about are fair and valid, right? The screw-ups and the one play here and one play there because there's no margin for error. So I didn't want to lose sight of the bigger picture, at least to date. And one of the reasons it stuck out to me, Paul, was because what did we talk about the last 2 years on these podcasts? Took 6 games in 15. Now they were beating the crap out of people offensively, but the defense was like, until they go to Heinz Field and hold Ben Roethlisberger in that offense at 10 points. And it was like, holy cow, they're for real. Last year, was like, what are they doing? We were like, this defense needs to carry the offense early. And they didn't do anything until after the bye. And really, it was after them games. Yeah, it was even after that Monday nighter. It's like week 9. And, like, huge differences in points per game, yards per game across the board, red zone. Like, how different this defense was. So they've started well. And I really want to get into that year 3 of Paulie G calling the defense and just why that is. Are they on track to be dominant? You see the seeds of it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, going into this week, you expect to see some better offensive play again. But look, it's DeShone Kizer. You know, this defense is going to have to look great and not have those 1-2 play breakdowns, right?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. They are a couple of – the difference between a dominant defense and a good defense has been the difference in all three losses.
Right.
It is – a play to Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah.
It is, you know, the long run by DeShone Watson.
Right.
And it is two straight drives by Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, this team is 3-0 on the heels of their dominant defense. Instead, they're 0-3 with a pretty good defense.
Right.
And it's hard to hold it on them when the offense has been so putrid, but you're right. I mean, and that's what Marvin Lewis has mentioned that, and every time this has been brought up, he's like, you can't call yourself a dominant defense if you do things like that. You're not. And Paul Gunther has been along the same ways. But I think, you know, the evolution of him as a coordinator and where this defense is at now, it's a really interesting take, and everybody should look forward to reading it. Of course, it'll be up online on Friday, and it'll be in Sunday's game day section in the Inquirer. So make sure you check it out. It'll be on Paul Gunther, this defense, and a lot of good behind-the-scenes stuff that you're not getting anywhere else, like almost everything that we do.
Yeah.
So prediction time. What do you got?
I do think the Bengals win. I don't know how – I think it'll be nerve-wracking, though.
You think nerve-wracking?
Yeah. I guess I'm not convinced the Bengals won't turn it over this week with Greg Williams. So I'm going to go 21-17.
Wow.
Bengals. That's more for – I just don't – I mean, maybe – I was just talking about the defense. Maybe it's like 21-7. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the Browns are so bad. I guess I just – I need to – again, I need to see it. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm going to – maybe give the Browns a little more credit than I should. Bengals a little less credit than I should.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in there. I think it'll be closer than it. I mean, it's only 3.5 line anyway, at least that I saw early in the week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick right about that.
If there's anything we learned last week in the NFL, beware home dogs.
Yeah.
Beware home underdogs, especially in division home underdogs. That's a better favorite from those who like to frequent the betting community.
For entertainment purposes.
And only.
Yes.
I have the Bengals winning. I have seen too many times that we have gone up to Cleveland saying, man, what if?
Yeah.
Oh, no. This could be. And then the Bengals just rout.
Right.
That I just, you know, I think it's going to be an exorcism type of game. I think there's some carryover from the momentum of Green Bay. I think the Browns are just so bad. I think the turnovers, Kizer's going to throw them at least a couple to make a difference. And I just, it feels like one of those taking out 3 weeks of frustration on the lowly, sad Browns type of game. So I say 27-9, I think they go out there and really stick it to them and then try to come back here and see where they're at against Buffalo, needing to win a home game in front of 8 fans. So, sorry, I can't, Paul Detter Jr.'s in there.
Yeah,
I can only suppress him for so long. All right, so let's get this show over to Optimistic Bobby now. There's so many things he's optimistic about. It's time for him to show up. 50 West Brewery owner, Optimistic Bobby, the most optimistic Bengals fan, almost to 500 Twitter followers.
Almost.
Been trying to get to. And we're going to get him 1,000 by the end of the year at Bobby Slattery. You need to be following him for all the gifts and optimistic takes. So here's Optimistic Bobby. And at the end of this is getting us to a question for us. So we'll be back.
All right. It is now that time again. Optimistic Bobby is on the line. And at 0-3. Yet again, Bengals Nation turns their eyes to you. What say you?
Hey, 0-3. We played the first three games of the season, like I said, from the get-go. Until we get to nine losses, I'm still in this thing, and Super Bowl is still possible. So, feeling good.
I assume you took you were hot, man. Your Twitter feed, which we're almost to 500, so you're almost going to be recognized by Jim soon. But you're getting there. At Bobby Flattery, otherwise known as Optimistic Bobby, was firing up. You had those laser cast gifts ready to go on Sunday. You were firing them.
I pulled the ones they had on the internet. I'm still upset. I think when I get to 500, I'll have such a large fan base at that point. Someone can actually, with Photoshop skills, can actually make a real Bengal cat that's shooting lasers out of its eyes. But, you know, right now we're just working with the cats that are available on the GIF search on Twitter.
Right. The cats that are available. No update on any tiny stuffed cat business that you'll be running out of your section at the Buffalo game, or do we know that?
I'm saving it for Buffalo. I don't want to release any,
saving it all.
Any okay. photos yet. But I got to tell you, I was really excited about that offense in that first half on Sunday. And my prediction at the beginning of the game was 24-17 Bengals, and I actually thought it was going to come true. I thought that was going to be my moment. I was going to hit like 10,000 followers because I predicted the score coming out of the game. So to say that I was crushed when Green Bay scored the touchdown to go into overtime was a little bit of an understatement.
Right. Right. Many were crushed. Now the question is, I mean, if the unthinkable were to happen on Sunday, you're going to have to really hang tight on that like nine losses line that you're pushing out there, because that will be that's a tough one to stay optimistic through.
Hey, you know what? Let's see what happens. Like I said, you know, my opinion is I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that they win again this week. There were some positives that I saw last week. A couple things. Everybody wants to – I'm going to go through my optimistic takes here for Bengals Nation. Everybody's out there dogging the 0-3. Only three teams have made the playoffs. But if you look into that stat, that happened three times in the 90s. And there's been a drought since then, which odds would say that it's due to happen again. Another thing that no one's taking into consideration is how many 0-3 teams in history have had in NFL history have had their best defensive player suspended for the first three games due to a preseason hit. I don't know if that's ever happened before.
I think this might be the first time. I think you're right. That is a first.
So nobody's taking that. That's a stat that everyone's seeming to kind of overlook. Other optimistic takes from the game I want to talk about were the Laser Cats on Sunday. The first half, they looked incredible. Tapered off a little bit in the second half, but maybe that was due to they'd only practiced together for a short amount of time. So with the second week of practice under their belt, I think that you're going to see a different team, and I think they're going to come ready for Cleveland. Will Jackson, who's a personal Optimistic Bobby favorite, a big interception, was very excited about that. And then the thing that, you know, everybody's kind of talking about out there in the Twitter sphere, but I got to experience it firsthand on Sunday, was Tony Romo is without a doubt the greatest commentator in the history of sports. And I need to
know. Despite his negativity towards the Bengals at times?
No, I didn't feel like he was he knows what's going on. It was amazing. And I think that they really need to maybe put an option on your TV where you can pay extra to have him commentate the game, because I would do that all day long. It also makes me think about Phil Simms for all those years and how much he was leaving on the table. I feel like I was like, I feel like this is like all those years were stolen from me, but on the optimistic side, I'm hoping Tony Romo stays in that spot for a long time. It was very exciting.
Yeah. I would also concur that Phil Simms, worst number one analyst in the history of television football. As far as someone who's considered to be the number one by a network for a long period of time, worst has ever been. I'll say that. I'm not afraid to say it. But we're on the optimistic side, so you have Tony Romo now. Do you have a question?
Yes. We're going to keep this short and brief, and this is a perfect segue into my question.
I was just thinking, this has been so short and brief.
I was accused of keeping you on for too long last time.
This is my Twitter fan. I want it to evolve organically, Bobby. That's what I want it to be.
I appreciate it. So here's my question.
I
ran into this last week, but there's been a lot of Paul Downer Jr. lately.
There has.
And I want to know. I want to know what you're optimistic about this week. Oh. You and Jim, I want to hear, what are you guys optimistic about this week?
Okay. So
I give you my take. Now I want to hear it from you.
All right. I like that. That's a good one. All right. Well, that sounds good. 50 Fest, I assume, was a rousing success. I was in Green Bay, so unable to make it, but I assume it was awesome.
It was fantastic. Thank you to everybody who came out for it. Next thing coming down the pipeline from us is our brewers are actually up in Cleveland right now, brewing a collaboration beer with the brewers from Great Lakes. That'll be hitting market in about 2-3 weeks, and then we'll have the Brew and Q beginning in November, which is a barbecue festival out at our place featuring the chef from Great Lakes and their brewers and our brewers and our chef. And all's good on the 50 West side. So come on down.
Awesome.
And, we've got more beers on tap than ever before. So make your way down there, and I'm excited to hear what you guys are optimistic about.
Absolutely. And remember, NFL Sunday ticket on Sunday. You can go down there and watch all the games, watch the Bengals game at the Production Works. It's a great time. So, all right, Bobby, thank you. We will get on to what we're optimistic about. And that was excellent, as always. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Hooday.
All right, so there is optimistic Bobby with his many optimistic takes. And question for us, asking what we're optimistic about. What am I optimistic about? So what do you got? What are you optimistic about?
The fact that they're playing the Browns.
Yep, that's.
I hate to say it.
No,
like,
that has to be.
We love Hugh, you know,
sure.
And I'm sure he's really sad about people saying we love you, but
you're 1-18.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, maybe these guys will be good. I do think that game later in the year between these two clubs will be a little tougher, assuming health will be tougher than most people would want here at Paul Brown. But, it's the Browns, man. They've won 4 games since the end of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. They're 4-36 or whatever. I don't know. I forget the stats I had.
1-18 is enough for me.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know, and you know, they've got a bunch of kids that they're trying to rely on, and that's really not a great way to go about it.
So, I hate to – I wish I could be like, I'm going to point to certain things on offense and defense, and there are, but really, if you're going to be optimistic about this week, it's that it's the lowly Browns.
Yeah, lowly Browns.
Yeah.
I will say this. It's mostly the schedule. Now, question of whether Andrew Luck will be back week 7, which is sort of, according to reports out there, is maybe the most likely return date. He didn't come back to practice this week. He might come back to practice next week, but who knows? And even then, how good is he going to be in his first game back? What's even going on?
The Colts are also capital suck.
Right.
So, I mean, so, Andrew Luck rolling out in week 7 for his first or second game with that club is not.
Is still not great. So that's my point. So you go Browns, who are 0-3, Bills, who are 2-1.
Right.
But, I mean,
the Denver win at home is impressive,
yeah,
to a degree, yes.
They beat the Jets. But so, yeah, so maybe there's some hope. You're getting some hope if you're the Bills, but they're still not good. And then, you know, you got to go to Pittsburgh. You knew you had to do it for a year. And then you got the Colts early on with possibly still having Scott Jacoby Brissett or Andrew Luck with trying to see if his bionic arm works.
Yeah.
I mean, the schedule, the league, and the AFC is just so mediocre.
Yeah.
There's so many games that are just winnable.
And the Steelers aren't. Look, I know they're big brother, and they've got a great record at Heinz, but this division's not. I'm going to take shots at the North all year long, man. I did it again on Thursday, the walkthrough. I mean, and the Bengals, look, say what you want. They never win, and I know that's the end result, but the games have been close.
Yes.
You know, Antonio Brown doesn't go crazy. Ben doesn't always go crazy. Le'Veon Bell's good, but
he has gone crazy, but I don't think that this invincibility that people want to place around the Steelers is just not – I don't think it's there on this group right now.
Right.
And so going in there, I don't think it's an unwinnable game. I will tell you this. I would rather knowing all the history, I would rather go, if I were the Bengals, go to Pittsburgh than to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is an easier game, even with all the history and the ghosts there, than Green Bay is.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this thing up. We're going to bring on the hot seat that makes Gio think he's going to get a drug test, and lots of other goodies. So here's the hot seat with Doc from Thursday coming up. All your coverage at Cincinnati.com. We are going to be on our way up to Cleveland. And we're not going in December, so I'm not going to get to hit the Great Lakes up because I'm not going to go. I want to go get the Christmas sale. So I'm going to have a different road trip story next week, which I'm excited about. Again, William Jackson III on BTS next Tuesday. BBP, of course, will be back. We'll probably do a road trip BBP on our way back from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Hit the road BBP. We like those. So look forward to all that and hearing from you. Please don't burn the stadium down. I have stuff in my desk there in the office, so I'm going to need that in case the Bengals lose. But anyway, we will talk to you later. Here's Giovanni Bernard with Doc on Hot Seat from BTS on Tuesday. Have a good one, everybody.
And we are back at the Holy Grail. Give it up again for Giovanni Bernard. Thank you. We call this segment the Hot Seat. And you are a pro at the hot seat.
Yeah.
Having done this several times. Do you prefer Giovanni, Gio, or your Royal Highness?
I'll take Giovanni.
Giovanni, you like the full name.
There you go.
That's what I thought. Important stuff first. Your dad runs a dry cleaning laundry in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
How did he survive the hurricane?
He did well. He was actually in Haiti at the time. And the hurricane, it didn't really hit the southern part of Haiti where he was, Port-au-Prince. It hit the northern part, so he was good. Just a couple of rain stuff here and there, trees here and there, but they're all good.
Now, you have a school in Haiti as well.
Also in Port-au-Prince, so that nothing really happened to
really?
It. Yeah. A couple of solar panels that we installed last year got damaged, but that's all good.
Were you as close to constant contact down there as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to be.
Right, yeah, not much contact going on in Haiti at that particular time.
But that's good.
Everything is working out well. Great. Did you have a lot of hurricanes when you were a kid growing up in South Florida?
Yeah, we had a couple. I can't remember the names of them. There's too many names, but we had a couple. As a kid, I loved hurricanes. I enjoyed them. I know it's bad, maybe because I didn't have the responsibility to, you know, worry about the refrigerator and all the stuff melting and all that kind of stuff, but... we got days off of school, which was always nice.
Right.
We didn't have to do homework because we didn't have power. So I always had that excuse. It was good.
Did you go outside and play in the hurricane?
Well, after the fact, yeah. Okay. I know it's kind of bad, like when the electrical lines were down and tree branches were down. But
so you did that, though. That was a fun time.
Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah, everybody's got nothing, no power, no nothing. Cars turned over, houses ruined. Great time.
No video games, no Xbox.
Yeah.
None of that.
That must have hurt you. That must have hurt you bad.
That was the toughest part.
All right. You know, I've always wanted to ask somebody this who's gone through this. So what does it feel like tearing an ACL the second that it happens? I mean, I banged my knee on a coffee table and I'm crying.
Yeah. It's, the first time it happens, you don't really know what's happening. You just know your knee doesn't really feel right.
Yeah.
And the second time it happens, you're like, dang it, I know I just tore my ACL. Like, I can tell the doctor, hey, I just tore my ACL even before you touched me, which I did at that Buffalo game when we played the Bills last year.
Right.
I remember walking off. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I take it back. I played two plays, which I'm really proud of myself about.
After the tear. Yeah.
Caught a ball and ran for like 2 yards or something like that. Then I came off. And I was like, Doc, I think I tore my ACL. He was like, all right, well, hop on this table here. I'll check you.
Yeah.
He was like, yep. And then I threw my helmet. Mad.
Yeah, but
sad.
Does it hurt when you do it?
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
No. After surgery, it's miserable.
Yeah.
Okay. That's no fun.
All right. What are you still learning about yourself as a football player?
Learning about myself.
As a player.
Yeah, I think now, because I've been here for for a good amount of time, just my leadership. I've never been the type of guy to be vocal. I've always just led by example. Right. I don't know if I still do it now, but I try to, help out where I can vocally. But, I obviously don't try to cross the boundaries. But, you know, I still stay in my own way. I just try to do by example and just kind of, you know, help somebody, you know, somebody else, a younger guy, when I can.
What's your backup plan?
If backup plan, real estate. I love real estate. Yes, really? I want to own, by the age of 50, I want to be able to have, you know, 6 or 7 properties, 10 or 20 units full of each, and all paid for and all getting rent checks, just something ridiculous. Right now I have 3 properties down in South Florida, all rentals, making a good little monthly income off of that.
Properties as in apartments, as in vacation type?
Yeah, either way. I just do yearly rentals. It's just a little bit easier to maintain that way instead of the turnover you have in vacation rentals. So, developing properties.
You want to be a land mogul, kind of like Trump.
Yeah, like or a developer. Yeah. You know, I build these spec homes and I sell them and then just make my money that way.
Do you watch those shows on HGTV?
Not HGTV.
The fixer-upper thing or whatever?
I'm more of on, there's a show called Million Dollar Listings.
Million Dollar Listings.
On Bravo. Yeah. They do like LA. It's like reality TV a little bit, but you can learn a lot from there.
Yeah.
They have one for New York, which is pretty cool.
Are they high-end places you
got?
Yes. Of course. What do you like about Mike Brown?
Mike Brown, his honesty. How he is and how he comes across. You can ask him whatever you want. He's always just kind of been the guy to really tell you how he feels. He's not going to hold anything back. He stays to himself. But when you do have the opportunity to speak to him, you really do listen, just because you know you have to cherish that moment, because you never know, how often you will be able to talk to him. So
I'm sure there's a lot of people in Bengaland who would really cherish the moment of being able to talk to Mike Brown. Only it might not be as congenial as your conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just. I remember one conversation we had just talking about golf. Golf
Mike
and baseball.
Brown doesn't play golf.
I know. But it was just one of those things that we just started talking about baseball and just talked about golf and just how I try to switch my baseball swing and a golf swing. Just those little kind of moments that you kind of will hold on with you, you know? So.
Has Andy Dalton ever yelled at you?
Yeah.
Really?
My rookie year, a couple of times I missed a blitz and he got hit in the back of the head.
Oh, I'd yell at you for that, too. But he has. Yeah. See, I would have thought you'd
say a yell. I'm sorry. I take that back. It wasn't a yell. It was a, Gio, you missed your block, which is probably even worse than him actually yelling at me.
Yeah. Has he ever yelled at anybody?
I don't know.
Not
maybe.
A yeller.
Not a yeller, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Have you ever yelled at him?
No.
Like, open.
I mean, maybe one time, like, if I'm running out to the flat route, I, like, kind of whistle at him. Or if I miss a block, I'm like, hey, Andy, watch out, yelling. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Now, you were just up here telling those guys how you like to deliver hits.
Yeah.
Hitting people is fun. So this is going to sound like a silly question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is football becoming too violent?
No. I mean, guys are getting faster. Guys are getting stronger.
Right.
Bigger, faster, stronger. We signed up for this at the end of the day. We know the injuries. We know the difficulties that, you know, people have playing this game. But we choose it. You know, at the end of the day, anybody can say, you know what, I don't want to play anymore and quit. But I just love this game. There's nothing in I'm sorry. I don't know anything in this world that feels like walking out onto that field on a Sunday game. So it's just, that feeling is unbelievable.
Would you encourage your son to play football?
Oh, for sure. Well, I take that back. Baseball and then football.
Baseball number one?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's just the longevity of it. You can play a lot longer. That's a big reason why. Obviously, you're not going to get the worst injuries.
Right. You might be able to remember your own name when you're 50.
But at the end of the day, he's going to do what he wants to do whenever I do have a child, which is weird to even think of. But, yeah.
What was the first thought in your head this morning when you woke up?
This morning. This morning we have a meeting, or blitz meeting, with Andy and all the quarterbacks, and some of the running backs are in there. And I didn't know if today was my day to pick up the Chick-fil-A.
That was what you thought about?
Yeah, I was like, I had to text Andy in the morning. Like, hey, is it my day to pick up? Now, he had a gift card, so he picked it up.
That's big, the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to pay for that?
Yeah. Well, who else is going
to
pay for it?
No, I mean, do you have to pick it up for the whole crew?
Oh, yeah. It's 7 honey biscuits and 7 chicken biscuits.
Okay, yeah, that probably kills you.
Yeah.
That hurts you bad. You got to pay for it. That must have set you back like 30 bucks or something, right?
I didn't have to pay. I haven't paid this year, so.
Really?
Okay. Which is nice.
How'd you manage that? It's not your turn yet.
It's not my turn.
What's one thing you would never do for $1 million?
I don't know. That's a good question. $1 million. $1 million is $1 million.
That's a lot of money. But where would you put your foot down? You give me $1 million, I'm still not doing that.
I'm trying to be PG here.
Yeah. No, it's just you and between you and me, Giovanni.
I don't know. Something that risked my life? I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that's a boring
when I'm out
answer.
There, yeah, yeah. That is risking my life out there, but whatever.
How low is your profile, and would you like it to be lower?
My profile?
Yeah, your public appearance, your public appearances like this, and, you know.
How low is it? I mean, yeah. I enjoy meeting new people. Like, you know, when I first got in here, I try to meet everybody I can.
Okay.
I do like to keep a low profile when I have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
If I'm like at dinner, maybe I may not want to, you know, sign a picture and get up. And
well, people shouldn't ask you to sign a photo
when
you're
eating. Yeah, it happens. But my thing is, like, I don't mind meeting somebody. If somebody says, hey, nice to meet you, I'm going to let you guys eat, no problem. But it's kind of like when they're like, okay, hey, can you sign this? Can you do this? And then they'll come back and be like, hey, I got this.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll come back one more time and be like, hey, my buddy's on the phone. Can you say hi to him? I'm like, dude, I'm trying to eat.
Yeah.
At Chipotle or something. I don't know. Yeah.
What is one habit that you'd like to break?
One habit that I would like to break. One habit that I would like to break. When we fly back from games, we get a bunch like these like little chocolate. You can pick a bunch of different things. They have like Reese's, Twix, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I normally grab like 4 Twix bars, and they're like the 4-pack
ones. Man, that is
ones.
Just awful. I can understand.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 Twix bars?
Yeah. It's
how and how
like
dare
the,
you?
They have like the 4-pack, too.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. That's like 16.
So you grab 4 4-packs.
Yeah. 16 Twix.
Man, that I don't think I've ever heard anybody
that's
with
a, pretty
a
bad
worse habit.
Habit
than that. You eat too many Twix bars. Yeah.
And I'm in the back of the plane, so they always get the stuff from the back. So I'm like the first one to have dibs at the,
yeah.
You know, the whole.
So you got the whole deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next week, it's a short flight. You can probably hold off.
No chance.
No chance. All right. Well, good luck to you. If someone gave you a Bengal tiger, a real Bengal tiger, what would you do with it?
I'd bring it to the stadium every day. I don't know.
You'd bring it to the stadium every day.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a stupid question, isn't it?
That's a fun question.
A lot of the questions I ask are stupid. You know this drill. You've done this a while.
We got to ask you questions one day. Has that ever happened?
Every week it happens.
It
are
does.
You paying attention?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well,
where am I on this?
One time I do it every week. I say, is there anything you'd like to ask me? And Leon
you
Hall
You
got to
tell me before. So I come ready. You have your notepad and stuff.
All right. I'll give you 5 seconds.
Nah,
while I'm
I need
asking
more time
you
than
the
that.
Question. Is there anything you. I'm talking slowly.
Oh,
you
my
would
gosh.
Like to ask. Leon Hall asked me if my hair was real.
Ooh.
That was cruel.
I could see how he can kind of think that. I could see it.
But you got to come up with your own question.
When, all right, how about this? No, I don't have anything. Do you color your hair? Like, I mean, you don't really have any grays. I don't know if you like use just for men at all. No?
I do not. Right. I got a few grays, though. If you want to get closer, maybe afterwards you and I can. No, I got right in there, right? Can you see?
You got a couple. Yeah, a little bit.
See? So the
you use the gray shiner one. There's like one that like the medium one. It's like keep the grays in there. No?
I don't know what you're talking about.
My dad uses it for his beard. He doesn't like gray in his beard.
Oh, well, see, I don't care about that. I want to be gray, but I'm not. Well, that was good. Is that it? Is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all
you
I got.
You can ask another one if you want.
I got nothing.
We haven't used a lot of time in this segment because I haven't really asked great questions. But you got one more. Go ahead.
Do you like those shoes? Those are Stan Smith's Adidas.
Yes.
Do you like them?
Do you like them?
Yeah, I do. I actually, they're a big foreign shoe. A lot of people like in Paris and like Amsterdam wear them. That's kind of where I found out about them.
Yeah. In Amsterdam?
Yeah.
What else did you find out about in Amsterdam?
Coffee shops.
Good answer.
Coffee shops are not coffee shops.
Oh.
That's definitely not a coffee shop. They do not sell lattes.
No.
They don't sell cappuccinos in there.
What do they sell?
I don't know.
What do you mean you
I didn't
don't
walk
know?
Into it.
You said you knew that they weren't coffee shops.
They weren't coffee shops is all I'll say.
All right. So not like Starbucks.
Yeah, not Starbucks.
All right.
I'm going to have like a drug testing tomorrow. Right. I guarantee it.
Well, I appreciate you complimenting my old guy Stan
Smith. There you
Smith.
Go. Yeah.
I appreciate that. And you were off the hot seat, man. Nice
Thank
to see
you. Thank
you,
brother.
Back to the Beyond the Stripes in 1 minute.